I don't mean an actual giant Big Ben type clock watch. I mean a watch that symbolizes that someone has a lot of money to spend on a watch. That's what a giant watch means.
What other trait does the giant watch signify? Like if a man with a giant watch walked in front of me, I can assume what?
There are quite a few things you could assume. Notice some commonalities in them. They go to Brooks Brothers. They probably own a software company. Giant watches are also worn by doctors and lawyers and presidents. But in Austin especially, they likely own a software company or have had some kind of big exit from some sort of startup. The thing is, the guys with the giant watches, they are always successful. They're not founders. They're not entrepreneurs. They're CEOs. To be a true guy, tall guy with a giant watch, you can't fake it.
To be only in Austin, though, because I used to live in Miami and like guys had these fat watches all the time and it did not mean, maybe it's the height thing combined with the thing, but I come from a different understanding of watches.
They look like John Johnson from Miami Vice.
Yeah, and they usually had a sports car. So there's this thing called the millionaire 50,000 a year person in Miami, meaning they flex like a millionaire, but they actually make $50,000 at most a year.
Then how can they afford the sports car and the giant watch?
I actually did some looking into it and I asked around. I'm like, do most people here in Miami make this much money? Am I missing something? Like, what is everyone doing all day when we're on this yacht? Like, what does everyone do for work? Why are people pulling up in Lambos? What's going on here? And then I realized that while maybe like 30% of people in Miami actually make like 6, 7, 8 figures, most of them are renting or using their savings on these things. And most of them really don't have savings that they spend immediately on material and like lavish presentations. So there you go. But I was on a yacht on a Wednesday in Miami with these people. Yeah, it wasn't really fun to talk to anybody. But I know that you love Miami.
I think it could have been fun if you just point blank asked them how they afford their lifestyle. That probably would have been a fun afternoon on a boat where they can't escape and have to talk to you.
Yeah, that was the scariest part. Like, I hate anywhere that you can't see the exit and leave after 30 minutes.
No, we're not talking about tall men with giant watches. We're talking about your witch, Crystal.
Or should I say my spiritual advisor, as she called herself.
Look, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, and tells you that if you don't give her $10,000, she's gonna put a spell on you. You're not a spiritual advisor. You're just an agent of the devil.
But that's the interesting part. They usually don't present as what we tend people to look like. They're usually presented in light, in sparkles, in elevated spirituality and friendliness. And so I actually want to go over the fact that a lot of these new age advisors, coaches, leaders, thought leaders, you got to be clear that they're not like, oh, I'm on a broomstick and I'm brewing things and I have a goblin. They actually look pretty presentable and professional sometimes, or they use titles like spiritual advisor, spiritual coach, life coach even. And I'm not touting on life coaches. I've had coaches before, but I feel like most of the time, things in darkness are clothed in light.
Yeah, welcome to my show, Crystal. Crystal is one of my friends. We've been friends for quite some time now, and one night over dinner, she let it slip that a witch stole $10,000 from her. I'm really glad she's going to come on my show and talk about exploitation and how to avoid people who seem friendly but want to exploit you. Also, fun fact, Crystal met that creepy cult girl that tried to get me to join her creepy cult at Tech Week, and she did not like her either. She thought she had the creepy dead eyes. Crystal has a better understanding of this kind of stuff than I do. Let's begin. Crystal, welcome to my show.
Thank you for finally having me on. Okay, where do we start this journey? I feel like if I were to title this story, it would be how I partnered with a witch to get over my breakup and escaped going down $10,000 and avoiding Santeria to be woken up to what I was actually doing.
So 20-year-old Crystal moves to Miami for the first time. You're fresh off a breakup. Tell me about that. Walk me through the very beginning.
Let me backtrack a little bit. I lived in San Francisco. I work in tech companies, right? I moved there. And immediately I went to this conference to find a job. I didn't find a job, but I did find a boyfriend. I fell in love with somebody and we ended up getting together immediately after that. And I was with this guy for 3 to 4 years on and off. It ended up, how do I say this? This was a high functioning relationship where I actually experienced victimizations with someone's addictions. And there was a lot of sexual and physical trauma in this relationship. However, I was addicted and I was addicted to the addict. And I experienced what we call like a soul tie, where no matter what somebody does, you are tied at their soul. You are just tied together. There's nothing that you can try to do to leave. It's not easy. Multiple times that I tried to cut it off and leave, I would find my way back. I even moved to cities and I would find my way on a plane flying right back to him. I cut off friends. I isolated myself just to finally be with this man. And then I was in Austin actually at this time. We lived together and it was the final straw of all that turbulence, the trauma, and honestly, the abusiveness that was happening. I got on a plane and I moved to Miami with my best friend. And I remember thinking that, all right, here I am, Miami, new life, new school, new pool. And we have this notion, right, of what moving on can look like. But what's underlying is really like all the ties were so strong that when I found out 2 weeks after us breaking up, and this was supposed to be the era of me moving on, he immediately got with another woman. And I remember being on a boat in Miami in the middle of the week, beautiful weather, beautiful sunshine and skies, when I got a text from a friend that said, don't look on social media. And I immediately knew what that meant. And my world from that point on just went into like black and white. It seemed like the music around me was slowing down and I was being dragged under, because I knew that point that this person that I had given 4 years of my everything to and compromised a lot of my values and who I was for, and he didn't hold me at gunpoint by any means, which is why it's hard for me to call it. I was the victim of abuse when like I decided in this relationship, but I really gave up every part of who I was and my identity, my values for it, was immediately with somebody else. And that sent me in the next probably 6 months living in this beautiful place in Miami, secretly going through the worst inner turmoil and heartbreak and a really dark place in my life, because I had seen the past 4 years of giving up so much of myself to someone. And so I was purely heartbroken. Like I could not explain how I lived under the shadow of this relationship for the next few months. And I would go to these parties and go to these places that were vibrant and colorful in Miami, but it felt like I was always in the shadow of a different world. And so when you're living this constant dissonance of your life of like, I'm moving on, I'm performing on social media, I was putting out such a well-presented, exciting and colorful life. But inside, I was dealing with like deep heartbreak, deep hurt. And it was because of the soul tie, the tie that I had to this person, that I could just not fathom or understand how to break away from this. It was at this time that all I could say and I could prayed for repeatedly is just like, just get me out of this. Please get me out of this state. I don't want to be sad anymore. Don't want to live in this meaning. Like I was begging God, just fast forward me through this pain. Please fast forward me through all of this. I want to be my best boss girl self. I just wanted to be here. And the more that I would try to pronounce and present this life, like I was building my media company, I was building up my social media presence and all this stuff, what was going on underneath was so extremely, it was a secret turmoil that I would take any metaphorical pill possible to get me out of it. And I remember coming home every day from these big crowds with friends, events that I would put together, and just come home and be shattered. And I didn't know how to hold myself together. And so one day I was walking around on Biscayne. At this point, no one knew what I was going through. No one knew the actual sadness and heartbreak, not the part of the breakup. I feel like no one knew what had actually gone on in the past 4 years, which was that I had gone through 4 years of a lot of sexual trauma and darkness and shared experiences with this person and their addictions and being exploited at the hands of that. And I had not gone through therapy for it. I did not process it with anybody because it was just so disturbing.
So you say this relationship was so disturbing. You moved to a new city because you wanted to get away from it. What year was this? What year did you move to Miami?
I moved to 2021.
Okay, so this is also post-pandemic. So people are, I remember there was a very chaotic energy also right after the pandemic when everything started opening up again.
Yeah, there was.
What did you do to cut yourself off from this person besides move to a new city?
Honestly, when I moved cities, I flew back a couple times until it finally cut off and I came back for the last time. I couldn't look at any content. I didn't check on their accounts or profiles. I just went cold turkey. That was the only way to survive this. And I knew that I just had to cut everything off. But I lived in the shadow of what I knew was going on, if that makes sense.
No, it doesn't make sense. Do you mean you were living the shadow of what was going on? You keep saying what was going on. Crystal, what is this thing that's going on? What are you talking about?
What was going on is that the person that I was still very tied to, still not moved on from, had quickly moved on and was in a relationship that seemed just rainbow and butterflies, not within 2 weeks of us separating, with a person that I just saw as like a 2.0 version of me.
What made her a 2.0 version of you? And also, why did it bother you that this guy that abused you, why did it bother you that he moved on so fast? Why did you care?
That's a good question. It's like you can look at it as if someone is hurting you and abusing you, you should probably walk away. If that doesn't happen within the first 1, 2, 3, 4 years, there's probably something else going on. And that something else was the fact that, again, we were very like codependent and tied to each other. And I was getting a lot of fulfillment and probably wanting to be desired by this type of person because it was fulfilling an early lack of being desired by this type of guy early on in my teenage years. By having this relationship, it was fulfilling a lot of things for me. A lot of insecurities came back up when this relationship happened. So when I say like when this was going on, it was someone that I thought I could cash in all my cards with and get like loves from, immediately moving on and being with somebody who was just like me, which was painful because it meant that all my qualities and traits that I thought were unique and would hold up, making me irreplaceable, I was replaceable.
So it was upsetting, not just because you left someone that you loved who was abusing you, but also because he quickly found a replacement.
Yes, exactly. And it would be different if this person was completely different from myself. She had blonde hair, and if she had a different job, and if she just was completely different personalities, that would have given me more console. But when it's someone that is like you, and I've like actually heard that a lot of guys sometimes go for another girl that is a few iterations away from their previous girlfriend, it hurts more.
It's unfortunately true. Guys have a physical type. I found that out the hard way. I think everybody did. It's like you have to fit this guy's type. And I'm sorry, Crystal, some guys have fetishization of Asian women.
Oh boy, that is true. That could be a whole other discussion. But it's like now every Caucasian guy that I date, and maybe I should try diversifying my pool, it's like, are you into me or do you have a secret fetishization? And how does that make me feel?
Yeah, yellow fever. Crystal's not for the yellow fever, fellas.
Yeah, I'm not.
It'd be kind of weird if you were. It'd be kind of weird if you were like, yeah, I love yellow fever. I love the tall men with giant watches that have yellow fever. Oh my God. Okay. So when you're asking about commonalities of tall men with giant watches, I'm afraid like it's not the case for all of them. I would say a lot of them date same race women. And also tall men with giant watches are not all white. Actually, I would say they're very diverse in terms of just being tall with giant watch. Yeah, I would say I've noticed a little bit of yellow fever.
Story of my life. Man, I feel like I should mention that I've only had relationships with Caucasian men. That's partially my, it's like, I'm enabling this too. So yeah.
Well, you live in Austin and you were in Miami. Like, I think it's also the city. Okay, so like when I was in Nashville, I lived in Nashville right out of college and I dated this guy that was 1/4 Black, 1/4 Japanese, 1/4 Native American, and 1/4 white. He was so good looking.
The mixes. That's so rare here in Austin. Every time I find a mixed person, I'm like, a rare breed has been spotted. Like, how did they get here?
Yeah, he... Oh my gosh, I should maybe cut this part. It's kind of funny. And I dated for like 6 months and he dumped me on Valentine's Day because I wouldn't sleep with him. And I was 23 and I was really upset about this. So I signed him up for a bunch of vegetarian newsletters. I was really mad. I got dumped on Valentine's Day because I wouldn't put out for a guy that was like 6 years older than me. And I was not that mature. So I was like going on like vegan recipes. And I was like, this is what you get for dumping me on Valentine's Day. We're on good terms now. Yeah, we're on good terms. He's probably going to listen to this. He's a nice guy. He messaged me on Instagram and wanted to know if I was interested in seeing him again. And I was like, no, I'm not. But nice to see you're still really beautiful, really good looking, probably with the greatest kids.
I probably need to see a picture of him now.
Yeah, just think about, oh my God, he actually, okay, he apparently got this a lot. You know the hot guy from Pocahontas?
John Smith?
No, no.
Oh, Coco. Oh my God, I'm so problematic. See, there goes again. My tendency for white menace and white men. Dang it. You caught me. It's Coco. Coco's hot.
Yeah, also like that movie, there's a clear, one guy is, they're both cartoons, but one guy's clearly hotter than the other.
Yeah, shoot. I need it. Yeah.
Oh, Crystal says they feel called out. No, we're not judging. If you hear it, it's a, maybe a little. I can't believe you think John Smith's hotter than Coco. We're going to tweet you about that later. Okay. Okay, so you just ended this abusive relationship. You were feeling very vulnerable. You just moved to a new city where you did not have, sounds like, did you have friends there besides your close friend?
I actually had a lot of friends. And the interesting part is that I was surrounded by a good circle, girlfriends, and a good community of people. So it wasn't that I was like alone or isolated, but what I was walking through was very alone. And so what I'm about to explain, you don't have to relate. You don't have to have your own personal witch story or be scared of witches, because think of this as more of a metaphorical witch. And I want to cast a light on how emotionally vulnerable people, insecure people, get preyed on by certain people who don't have your best interest in mind, who are trying to exploit what you're going through, and that there are certain signs to watch out for. And mine just happened to be through a quote spiritual advisor or shaman wannabe, or what I'm calling her is a witch. I just think everybody should really watch out for this, because on the spectrum, the tactics are the same. The methodologies, the recruiting, the love bombing, the relationship building, the messaging, the marketing, the making you feel special, it's all there. So this is what happened. Are you ready? Okay.
Yeah, we're ready. Tell us, how did you meet the switch?
Okay, so I'm walking around the park at Bayfront, beautiful Miami day, by the ocean. Just picture yourself the most beautiful blue sparkly water, blue skies ever, green trees, and I'm just this girl walking around sobbing. I'm crying because I feel a depth of sadness and despair. And I'm just looking up into the heavens saying, what do I do? How do I get out of this? And then out of nowhere, this woman walks up to me and she's like, I just saw you from the other side of the park and I just felt your energy. She just is looking into my soul. And she's like, I just really felt your grief and your sadness. And for the first time, I felt like someone was seeing me. And then she asked, can I do a palm reading on you? And I've never opened up to this before, but I'm like, yes, of course. I'm wiping away the tears from my eyes. And she does this palm reading. And she's like, I just see, you know, she's going like, I just see some things that you're going through and something happened. And like, of course, anyone crying, you can probably guess that something has happened to them. But I'm over here like nodding like, yes, at this moment, I just feel really seen and cared for. Someone is making me feel like they send something and they want to help me. And then she said, before I go on through this reading, this is going to be $25. Is that okay? And I'm like, yeah, of course. And by the way, this $25 cashed in basically the start of what would be the unfolding of different financial investments. But she was great because she started off with just holding my hand and reading my palm. And that was very unaggressive.
Few questions. Can you describe what she looked like?
She honestly was small, was thin, was not very put together looking. Like, she didn't really have a professional suit. She just had casual clothes on. She was not that impressive looking. I don't even know why I fell for her. I just think that I felt really seen.
We've talked a little bit about dead eyes, where people have eyes and there's just nothing behind them. Did she have the dead eyes?
Yeah, I think looking back, she did have the dead eyes, but it was more in her voice. I remember her speaking in a certain tone. Have you ever heard of the siren? So that's like another way that people can lure and hypnotize, is like the allure of voice and being able to talk in a certain way. And this is actually a trained thing for people to lull you. This is a thing that you can practice to like lull you in with a certain voice and make you feel that you're being pulled in and really understood and seen.
Girl, the hairs in the back of my neck just stood up. I hate that voice. The people you're talking about, I have such a physical repulsion to. Oh my God. I don't really ever feel like they hype themselves. But this woman, she sounds like, I'm picturing like a little past college age babysitter type with unbrushed hair. Like, she, Amrush Chair, shops at Sprouts, likes yoga, is not really against any kind of religion, you know, just kind of hippie. Am I on the money?
Yeah, definitely the hippie part. Unbrushed hair, def on that part. I wouldn't give her enough credit by saying she was past college looking cute, like shopping at Sprouts. I feel like she just got me so good with making me feel like this was going to be my ticket out.
Ticket out of what?
Ticket out of the current pain and confusion and purgatory that I was feeling.
Very interesting. So you pay $25 and she's taking you to your palm red. Tell me about that. Where did she take you? And also, what did she see?
So let me just say that these people know how to sense if somebody is in a very vulnerable and needy place of their life. And I can tell you, she knew I was going to be the perfect candidate for her services, her offerings, her coaching, her witching, whatever it was. So anyways, after that palm reading, she exchanged numbers and she said, I'd really like to do a full reading on you, but don't give me your whole information because I basically don't want to know anything about you on her end. Show you that she's a psychic. Oh my God, I forgot to mention. Yeah, that's what she is and called herself a psychic. Spiritual advisor, psychic. I'm going to just call her a witch, but she presented as that. And then so later I go back home and I immediately want to meet with this woman and I meet up. I go to her place. It's an office in Wynwood. Wynwood is the arts district in Miami. And there's no signs outside of it, but I go inside and we immediately sit down and she goes like, you know, I was doing another reading on you. I want to pull some cards, but this is what I'm seeing. We do a really great card reading. Again, she hits some certain points. She brings up, there's a man in your past and he really hurt you. Basically starts building a relationship with me from this point because I feel really like I can go to her and share all these things. But also she was saying things like, we're going to get you out of this. And that investment, that first meeting was like $75, like, oh, like whatever. And so I did the reading with her. What happens after that for the next few weeks becomes this ongoing meet up for her and I to become really close outside of anyone's knowledge. Because with every meeting, I started sharing more and more with her. And I remember in the beginning, she said something and she said, as we keep meeting, I just want to make sure you know not to tell anybody about this because we don't want the other energies to find out. I know that sounds so crazy, but this needs to be kept between you and I because we can't let the other realms and spiritual things and like energies find out that we're doing this because we're going to heal you and we're going to break you free.
All right. How much was each meeting and how many meetings did you have before she told you not to tell anyone else that you were seeing her?
In total, I saw her for 2 months straight, probably like once or twice a week. She told me within like the second or third meeting, just to keep this between her and I. I didn't see anything wrong with it. I think when you're in such a state of this person is going to help me and get me out, you're just kind of drunk on this like golden key, the dream of the other side. And that's why like I went along with it. And I would pin that as look at any cult and any program that people tend to like, whether they're telling you, don't share this with anybody, like keep it between you and I. And I've seen this in other programs of like, yes, if you share this with people, they won't understand. Keep this, you know, like they kind of like tell you that this is our own little world. Like anything that resembles that other people don't understand this and this is just our thing, that's a tactic to basically isolate you. And if anyone gives you pushback for why you're spending or why you're investing or why you're meeting with those people, then you can basically say, oh, this is what they warned me about early on. And they've already gotten in your head that they just don't have your best interest in mind, or they just don't understand the growth that you're going through, or they're not your friend and I am. I understand what you're going through and we only have this together. So that is another thing. I want to create these little markers, these signals of what is an unhealthy relationship, grouping, program, whatever it might be.
Yeah. I mean, I think everyone knows you're trying to share your story to help prevent other people from falling victim to it. So it is helpful to give little markers like this. But we don't want to distract too much from your actual story. So how much money was each meeting?
There you go. Okay. Every meeting got higher and higher. So it went from like 100 and then 125 and then 150. And the next one was 200 and the next one was 250, right? So incrementally, it wasn't that much. But over time, I was investing more and more because what happened was we would have these readings and these meetings and I would feel more seen. I would feel like this person really wants to help me. And she would say things, oh my gosh, Paige, she would know exactly how to get under my skin and say what I wanted to hear. I feel like these people really sense how you need to be seen, because she would do a reading. And mind you, I never did readings before this. That was the crazy part. I didn't ever rely, like, I've grown up going to the church and having business mentors and professionals and coaches. And so it wasn't ever like this was something I ever did my whole life. So it was very outlandish for me. And she would say things like, wow, Crystal, I see that you were supposed to be a millionaire by now. And you were supposed to be speaking on stages, talking to other women and talking around the world. And you were supposed to be there by now. But this guy, you met him and it blocked you from all these things. And he blocked you from that. And you're entitled to this. So we're going to break this from you. We're going to cut this all off so that you can get what you deserve. You're finally going to get this life because this has blocked you from it, and I'm going to help you get there. Are you ready? Okay, good. However, we need to meet one more time because this is going to take me more than 3 to 4 meetings. This is going to take us working together. If you're really invested in getting this lifestyle, and if you really want this abundance, we're going to have to meet probably for 2 more months. Are you ready to break free from this and have abundance and to finally get that life that you deserve? I see you talking from all these women. Don't you want that? And I was just like, oh my gosh, she gets me. I have been blocked by that. She's right. I'm supposed to be there by now. I was just sold.
Say you're sold. Sounds like your soul was sold.
Yes, exactly. My soul in the literal sense, I was sold. I was spending that money. But I feel like with that, she knew she had me. I got to the root of what Crystal really needs and wants to hear and is on the other side of this. And this is the part where she could have told me anything. I was there. I would meet with her. And I was meeting with her in secret also. And the crazy thing is, like, you would say I'm a pretty rational, practical person. I was running my own business at this time. I was working in tech. It wasn't like I was ever in the wellness, spiritual, woo-woo space. Like, I was in a very practical environment most of the time. So it was very interesting that I was cashing in on this process.
Yeah, I would say, you know, we've known each other for a while now. To me, as you are now, would not fall for a scam like that. In fact, when that creepy cult girl, she listens to my podcast. She told me, I hope she, whatever, I don't care. I would say this to her face now. So by the way, listeners, if you don't know this story from listening to Austin's Eyes Wide Shut, at Tech Week, I met this girl who pretended to be my friend for 6 months and then aggressively tried to recruit me into joining her cult. It's like $2,000. She's like, Paige, you got to join. I'll pay for you to do it. It was really weird. And Crystal did not want to talk to this girl at all. I remember, like, I invited Crystal to hang out with me and her at dinner. And Crystal was like, oh, I'm busy, Paige. Sorry. And it happened like a few times and I just didn't think about it. But you knew when you met her that something was wrong with her.
Yeah. And this is recent. So this is after this experience with the witch, right? But I feel like I sensed it immediately. Honestly, and she didn't say anything wrong. I just have this energetic feeling with it. And then it's something with the eyes. People are present with you, but they're actually seeking to know how to make you their next thing. And I can see it so clearly now. It's like an eyes look. It's like almost like I call it snake eyes. And it's emptiness behind the eyes. They're looking straight into you, but there's another presence behind the cataracts. And that's probably because there's, I don't want to get all woo-woo, but there's a host there. They're there with you, but there's another spiritual agenda happening. And mind you, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with, like, if you're spiritual or not. I grew up Christian. I am Christian. I am a very spiritual person, but there is another very off, darker, almost demonic feeling behind the eyes. And God bless her soul. I don't really know the girl. I'm not saying that there was like something attacking me with it. I was just like, I'm good. I'm good, yo. I feel like I'm about to be either network marketed or something. I just knew. And I'm like, and then when you came out with all that stuff, I was just like, oh, yep. And you got to watch out because some people will really be your friend first before it all comes out. The cards come out.
Yeah, that's how I felt. I mean, we were friends for 6 months. By the way, everybody, this is just giving a little bit of background into why I got interested in the whole exploitation and cult space. Crystal, as you just heard, did not like her and did not trust her and did not want to be around her and refused several times to go to dinner. Actually, I remember, I don't know if you remember this, but a while ago, I invited you to something and you were going to go with me. And then I was like,
was coming too, and you were like, oh, I'm busy. So yeah, actively avoiding her. Was friends with her for 6 months, and then she just starts harassing me via text, trying to get me to join this group. And I said no, and no, and no, and no. And she's like, here's all this money I have for you to join this group. I was just so turned off at this point. Like, I'm not a very spiritual person in any way. I'm pretty agnostic. I will say now, I do believe in God. I'm comfortable disclosing that, but I'm not ever going to go to church. I'm not going to do an exorcism. You know, I just don't. What am I going to do? Call Buffy? Come on. No. So this experience with this witch, it's given you a pretty strong aversion to anyone who's like her, anyone who presents like her. Why don't you tell me about what getting to know her was like? Because you were spending quite a lot of time together and quite a lot of money.
It got to this point where the money part wasn't even a big deal because I really felt like I was investing in my progress, my healing, my freedom, my life of abundance. And they get you to say that. And I think by having somebody who you can be vulnerable with and you can bond with and who just makes you feel like the highest state of yourself, we as humans are just so wired to be seen in that way, right? And so I feel like it is good, but sometimes it's used as a tool to stay with them because they see you. And anyways, our week by week meetings became her doing a reading, us talking through, and her saying like, yeah, and I had this dream, I had this vision, I was doing. Oh, let me also say, every time that she would send me back out, she would give me stuff like a candle and some kind of ritual, a card, a saying, a mantra. And I would go home and she would say, light this candle and like say these prayers. They were prayers. And this is another thing, because it was a candle with a biblical figure in it saying a prayer. As a Christian, I was like, wow, this is pure. This is holy. This is so aligned. There's nothing bad with this. And so I would do that. And it felt all fine. Again, masked in this sparkly spiritual light, right? And so I'd go home repeatedly and do this, not realizing that by doing these practices, probably inviting open portals and things coming in and just like making agreements with things that I didn't know about. Because it was prayers to hope, to spirit, to Christ consciousness, to Mother Mary, to all these figures that I'm familiar with, then it felt okay. So she was sending me out doing that. I would remember I would light things in my room and I would just do my homework. I would do the rituals and I would come back. And I remember this one time she had me come back and say, I need you to bring, my roommate knows about this now, next time I want you to bring a pillowcase or a hairbrush from your roommate and not tell her, Crystal, wait, Crystal.
No, you did not mention that you stole. What did you take? Did you take a pillowcase or a hairbrush?
I took both. Yeah. I'm just waiting. She was telling me things when I was doing them. And I know this might sound so crazy. Everyone's just like, wow, I would never do this. This girl's crazy. Why are we? But I was just so bought in at this point. And again, everything I'm saying is, I think, a extreme version of these smaller tactics. You hear of people in cults getting branded and doing tasks and calling their people their masters and just cutting off their life for these things. And so it is weird, but I feel like I understand why people have done some very out of character things, because you just got to this place where, again, you're committed to the process and you feel like you trust people. So I literally would sneak into my roommate's room and I took a pillowcase from her and a hairbrush. I think I took a picture. I don't even know why she wanted my roommate. Oh my gosh, I feel so bad about that. I pray protection over her though. She's fine. And then she would ask for printout pictures of me and my ex.
Let's start at the beginning, because it wasn't like she was telling you, go get your roommate's hairbrush right now. I mean, I feel like if she had started with that, you probably would have walked away because you've been like, that's so weird. It sounds like you were kind of a frog in a slowly boiling pot of water. By the way, if you are not familiar, if you put a frog in a pot full of cold water and you put it to simmer and you bring it to a slow boil, the frog will not hop out because it is so used to the water. So Crystal, you were a frog. Talk to me. Tell me her simmering tactics. How did she raise the temperature? You weren't jumping out. Tell me. Start at the beginning.
How did she raise the temperature? Again, with what I mentioned, it was first a trust building process. She created space for me to feel like I could share everything. And she was telling me the words I wanted to hear. making me feel like, oh, I should be here by now. Yes, she does see my ultimate vision. Okay, she's going to help heal me. She's going to cut this off. And she would say things like, we're going to cut this off. Again, like I said in the beginning, like I knew that there was a tie there and I just wanted so bad to be fast forwarded and cut off. And she would say like, we're going to put a block on this. And it got to a point where I was meeting with her frequently enough that there was like a secret bond between us, a secret world and codependence that we had created. And I remember she would call me up in the middle of the week and say, I'm at the church. She would use terms that I knew like was plain to my own language. Like, I'm at the church and I'm doing prayers for you. I'm building a shrine for you. And take this as you will. I know it sounds crazy, but it was basically somebody.
Crystal, you can drop the "it sounds crazy." It doesn't sound crazy because you were a victim of someone manipulating you. Anyone can fall victim to stuff like this. No one, regardless of how smart you think you are, regardless of how worldly you think you are, you can fall prey to something like this. I've had an experience with someone like this where I fell prey in a similar way. It wasn't spiritual, okay? I was going to talk about it at the end of the podcast, but if it makes you feel better, I'll do it now. Okay, I'll do it right now. Yeah, Crystal's saying yes. The sad part about life is everyone has had an experience like this. Every single person in the world, I really believe, has had an experience where they've been taken advantage of. One of my friends, she went to college in Arizona at ASU. Her first day there, some guy comes up to her and asks her to borrow $1,000 for a charity. She's 18. She doesn't know any better. It was like $1,000, literally. He was like, I need it for this charity thing we're doing at school. Can you lend me money? She just did it. She looks back at it. She's like, that was the stupidest thing I've ever done in my life. I cannot believe I fell for that. Everybody has had experiences like that.
Cheers to that.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, sometimes it just takes that one instance to learn from it. Some people, it takes longer. If you're my friend, you can fast forward through the next 3 minutes of this because you have heard this story and I know you are sick of it. And that's why I stopped telling it, but I'm doing it because I'm trying to make Crystal feel better. When I was in college, I had this friend who I was really close to. Okay, she was like my full 4-year friend. We were friends like day one of college. And looking back, there were so many things about her that were just so off and strange. There were a lot of like orange and red flags. But essentially the way our friendship worked was I would host these really cute parties at my house and I would just feed her. Quite a few instances where I would do lots of nice things for her. And I was definitely never financially paid back. And I just, like, she'd come over to my house and she'd be like, I want these things, or give me candy. Like, yeah, no, I'm not kidding. She would literally be like, give me candy. Can you bring candy? Can you bake me cookies? And I would just do it because I was like, I was 18, 19. I was a major people pleaser. I really wanted to have friends and I was doing all this stuff. And it wasn't a big deal. By nature, I am a pretty giving person. I enjoy doing nice things for people. A few things happened. I was in a major accident my junior year of college. Couldn't do a separate podcast episode on what happened to me, but basically I like had severe facial scars for a period of 8 months. I had to spend a lot of money seeing a doctor to heal my face so I could have a normal life again, okay? I did not end up having to have plastic surgery. You can actually, if you want to see, do you see these two little dots right here? They're so tiny now. They look like beauty marks. Yeah, they're kind of cute now. I like them. I used to have two gaping sores on my face that was like cratered in. Like, I looked like a monster. I'm just telling you, I was in no condition to like leave my house, much less throw parties. And basically what happened was she just kept harassing me to do things for her. She was like, bake me cookies. I missed those parties you threw. And I was paying thousands of dollars to a doctor. I was not able to operate an oven because I couldn't get heat near my face. It was intense. I remember there was this period in which she came over to my house, the very beginning of my healing journey from my accident. Her boyfriend had dumped her. She sat on my couch screaming at me to give her chocolate ice cream. Okay, basically all I'm saying is that everyone has been in situations where someone has taken advantage of them. It is part of being human. It is how you learn. So no. You don't sound crazy. Everybody who's listening to this podcast probably has an incident in their life where they've had a witch. And like, not just a spiritual witch. Like, my witch was the girl who told the scarred up version of me to bake her cookies. Yeah. Also, she listens to my podcast. It's really weird. Like, I can see who listens to my podcast. Haven't talked to her for 8 years, but she listens to every episode.
This person, let me just say, I bet you regret the day you were screaming at Paige, making her make you cookies and brownies, because yeah, don't ever take advantage of that. Paige is a wonderful woman, and make your own cookies and brownies. Goodness.
That's right. Make your own cookies. So that's not, we're not talking about my witch. We're talking about your witch. So you don't sound crazy, but she was getting you to steal your roommate's hair. Start at the beginning. Tell me, how did she turn up the temperature?
Yeah, I don't actually know what she ever did with the roommate's hair, but she was turning up the temperature. She would say things like, I'm at the church, I'm praying for you. So she was really building over time, showing how, look how committed I am to you. I'm doing all this work for you. I'm getting you through. I'm getting you out. I'm working with you. And I was along for the ride at that point. I was doing her rituals. I was doing all the stuff. I was stealing the hairbrushes, the pillowcases, and getting with her. And then there was this one time, this is when I know things are getting weird, that I had a dream. And I remember sitting at this table, and this dark, shadowy figure jumped on the table. And it was so scary that it woke me up in the middle of the night. And I don't usually have dreams like this. This is how I actually know that some portal was open. Because when you start doing this kind of work with the spiritual realm, when you start doing these, you're making agreements. This is how the spiritual realm works. You make agreements with what portals you decide to open, and they let you in. Things don't come in without your agreement. So it's all on the realm of agreements and not, right? So once you start opening yourself up to these practices, to these cards, to these readings, to these people, to these psychics, to these witches, you're basically opening up doors. I'm just going to say it for real. You are opening up doors to things coming in and influencing you. And you have to be very careful of that. So mine was first with a dream. It was a shadowy figure. It woke me up. It was so frightening. I go to her the next day about it. We meet in person. I describe it to her, and she's like, oh, wow, they're finding out. Like, who's they? The dark realms. They're finding out that we're doing this work. I'm like, oh my gosh, they're finding us out. And she's like, they know that we're trying to break you three. And so we have to do another ritual. You have to meet with me next week. We have to block this. So we have to block this now because it's going to keep coming back to you. Of course, by this time, I'm terrified. Like, I don't want any more of these dreams. And so I'm just over here feeling like, wow, they're figuring out that I'm trying to break free. And she said, you have to meet with me next week. And here's a candle. You have to light up this thing. And so I take it back with me. And again, I do this ritual. I try to light it up and it's not lighting up. And so I meet with her the next week. And I said, the stone isn't lighting up. Why not? Oh, because they're finding it. And so now this is the tactic of fear, and something's happening and we need to do something fast about this. And now, and little did I know that this dream probably came to me because of her, like because of the work that I was doing with her, all these shadowy things happening. At this point, it started getting scary because all these other darker, shadowy things and figures started coming through. And when it started getting scary, I was getting really anxious and wanting to find out not only how to heal myself and get to my life of abundance, but also make the demonic, shadowy things go away.
Oh my God. All right. So when you talk about frog being in water, it sounds like she started boiling you pretty quickly. Why do you think it was so easy for her to trick you?
Because you're in too deep. Because you're already so in, so deep. You've already invested enough. When you've invested enough, be it in a relationship, with time, with resources, money, this is how anyone can convince themselves that they are sold and enjoying the program, the group, the cult that they're in, because you're in deep. You have sacrificed something. You have walked far enough down the path that your mind will tell you, oh, we're in this. And there's no getting out, and you're just so in deep.
Was there any specific moment? I feel like things really turned and she really got her claws into your heart. I'm picturing her right now. I'm not picturing her as a cute babysitter anymore. Like what I'm thinking of, Emily obviously can't describe her appearance just because I don't want to like invite weirdness into my life. I'm picturing her like Willa from Succession. Like she's got blonde hair under her shoulders. She's got really pale skin. She's not as pretty as her. She's got these big green eyes that are a little soulless, and she's got really sharp fingernails. That's what I'm thinking.
The sharp fingernails. Good one, Paige. Yeah, they were kind of like very small, thin, and witchy. Anyways, short hair for sure. you're making me reflect on her image, and I haven't thought of the visual part of this in a long time, but the fingernails are pretty accurate.
Yeah, I'm thinking of these creepy little talents. It's like uncanny valley. It's like someone who looks normal enough, right? Like they look like a normal person, but once you look at them, you're like, actually, they don't really. And just as a disclaimer for my listeners, I don't really believe people are demons. I don't believe in demonic possession. But I mean, my friend had $10,000 stolen from her. If you are so motivated by greed, lust, whatever, I think it does change your appearance a little bit. And I feel like she was just really motivated by sinking her talons into your body. Like I'm just picturing her getting around your waist and just sinking her fingers really tightly into you until you eventually couldn't let go. What was the moment where she really got you in her trap?
Again, with the sinking in the talons, there was this point where in you, I felt like she had to act fast because things kept, like, our meetings kept getting more frequent and she knew she had momentum and she had to act really fast and say, like, our next meeting is tomorrow. There was always this time sensitivity. And like time sensitivity, it's a sales tactic for sure. Like everyone uses it, but when it's threatening and say like, if we don't do this by then something bad's gonna happen. So there was this one, it was one of our last meetings. And by this time, I think I had spent like a couple $1,000. I wasn't even aware because I was just so ready for freedom. And she said, I had this vision. I had this dream. I was doing my meditation for you. She said, there's something following you around. There's like a dark energy that's following you around. And in the beginning, she would never use scary language on me. But towards the end, it was getting more like darker and scarier and threatening. And if we don't do something now, something's going to happen. Oh, and I remember when I was watching the Nixium documentary, Nixium is like a coaching cult about like executive leadership. The higher you get up the ranks, the more the stakes get high. And if you don't do something, it gets scarier. So anyways, she said, there's something following around. If we don't break this off right now, I need you to come into the office because I need to tell you about this dark, shadowy figure that I had a vision on that's been actually following around this past years, which is probably why this is happening. And so I immediately go into her place and she says, yeah, I just saw that this dark figure has latched onto you since you were 21. And that is how and why you met this person. And since then, it's been following you around. And so we have to create, she said something like, we have to create a version of you that they think is you so that they stop following you around. They, meaning like this shadowy demonic thing, so that it starts following the new presence of you. Making some technical spiritual thing around this. And we need to basically cast this dark shadow figure on that so it stops following you around. And if you don't do this, then it can follow you around for the next 5 to 10 years. And that terrified me. It was basically like, if you don't do this now, this is going to be your future for the next 5 to 10 years. Do you want that? Do you want to be dealing with this? You know, and like, I've seen this script so many times where they start to dig into your pain point and say, don't you want this? And this is what's going to be the outcome if you don't have this. And do you want that? Of course, forces you to answer, no, I don't want that. And I'm scared and I don't want that following me around. So I said, yes, let's break this off. Let's cast this off. And that's why all these bad things have happened. She said, great. But she asked me two questions. One, the next meeting is going to be a very intense session. You have to come in for this and you have to sit here with me for this. And I want to make sure you're prepared for this because Crystal, you're probably going to see some things that you've never seen before. I just need to know if you're ready. Like saying this is crazy.
It's not crazy, Crystal. I mean, people talk about drugs and alcohol and addictions you can have to substances. I think some people can be manipulative and addictive. You probably think it sounds crazy because you're talking about a spiritual person who's not, you know, a church figure. So that's what people like. When you tell them this story, they're probably like, oh yeah, you should have known. But there are predatory therapists. When I was talking about Cookie Girl, I can just call her Cookie Girl. Oh my God, because it's all she wanted. She was always like, Paige, where are my cookies? Paige, bake me cookies. I think I have some text messages from her that are like, Paige, before I deleted all of her contacts, I would like type cookies in my phone. I could like scroll down. There are like 500 messages. She's like, where are my cookies? Bake me cookies. You said that you were going to have cookies. What was wild was that after I ended our friendship, she harassed me for 5 years after ending that friendship. That's how wacky she was.
Do you feel like there was something about you that came off as someone that could be exploited or taken advantage of, especially by this friend.
So I should be honest, when we started being friends, I was the needier one. Like, I was always relying on her, not financially. Like, I never borrowed money from her, told her to do things for me, but I was always telling her my problems and just doing that to a lot of people because I was 18. Around 19, I had this change in personality where I was like, I don't want to drive people away. I don't want to be super needy. I need to become the best person to be around. And so I think initially, like, I didn't feel drained by her or anything. It was just, she was just happy that I was giving her things. It was more when I got physically ill and I could no longer do it that she got really crazy. She got very greedy and very demanding. And obviously, if you harass someone for 5 years after the friendship ends, like, something's wrong with you. Sorry. Stop listening to my podcast. It's really weird.
Oh my gosh. But do you see how it was at that point where you were like physically dependent and in need and incapable? That's usually when it starts to rev up, like boil up the water, rub up the fire, because at that point she had been your friend and there's a point of dependence, that neediness that someone can tell, like, this is when I start to really turn it up.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I remember after she sat on my couch crying for 6 hours and demanding I give her chocolate ice cream, which I did, and bake her cookies, which I did, and pad thai, which I did. The next day, I told her, hey, I am like really sick. I cannot be your friend right now. And she said something that in hindsight was the red flag runaway, which is, I cannot handle any more people leaving me right now. And I ended up apologizing to her. I mean, no, it's not like I did not lose as much money as you did by any stretch. All that happened was just this girl stalked me for a little bit.
Yeah, stalking is scary too. That's an energy that we don't talk enough about. Its effects are so insidious.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like, okay, this is the last thing I want to say about her because I just don't want to give her any more time. I felt like I had this narcissist on my back. It just, this girl was following me around. And like, what was wild was that after our friendship ended, she continued to get information about me from other friends, which she would use to run a really creepy blog about me. This is great. Like 5 years, like from the last time I checked, it was 2019. Our friendship ended in early 2015. So almost 5 years. This is a time span of before Trump was president, 2-3 months before COVID. That is how long she ran her blog about me. So yeah, it was when I was really sick, like physically sick and could not leave my apartment or expose my facial skin to the sun, that she started to get really aggressive and financially abusive. But it's weird because I had less to give to her.
I'm sorry you went through that.
I mean, you went through something way worse. Enough about me. I don't want to talk about this narcissist anymore, whatever.
She was inviting me back and said, you're going to have to come in and do the session with me. And you're probably going to see things that might be a little scary. So at this point, the line had been crossed. There is no more like lightness and sparkliness and shininess. So this is usually what happens. It is like you get drawn in through light, sparkles, color, all that stuff. And then it slowly starts to get more real and reveal itself. There's no more clothing in that. And again, I read the Bible and it says the enemy of darkness is clothed in white. Usually darkness clothes itself in sparkly, like nice, abundance sounding, positive sounding, spiritual sounding words. And then once you're more in, it doesn't even care anymore. It's like, this is what we're going to do. And it's going to be dark and it's, like, don't you want, it's threatening. It's kind of like exactly what happened with like the same progression, right? She was just coming in into your house while you're injured or recovering, saying like, where's my cookies? Where's my ice cream? It was just rearing its ugly at that point. No more masking. Do you see that? So anyways, in any other state, I would have been like, no, that's scary. I don't want to do it. But I was like, bet, let's do it. I'm coming in, whatever it takes. And now I think about it, she was probably like trying to do some Santeria.
What is Santeria?
Oh my gosh, I feel like...
I know that song from Sublime where it's like, I don't practice Santeria. I ain't got no crystal ball. If I had $1 billion, I would spend them all. Let's define it. We can look at my phone. Crystal and I are Googling Santeria. Yeah, we're like not how I typically run my podcasts, but whatever. I would not normally share something so personal, but I think I'm sharing it because I want people to know that it's not just like a cult or a freaky witch character that takes advantage of you. You have to think about it like this. If you are giving someone money, like if you're paying a therapist money, you're going to see a coach or you got a friend you're supporting, you're part of a program, whatever, how would they respond if you stopped giving them what they wanted from you? A normal therapist, if you told them, hey, I'm not doing so well with you, I want to stop seeing you, a good therapist would probably go, okay, sure, it's your life. Same with a life coach. And if you told your church, hey, I don't really feel like I'm connecting to God or to a religious figure through you anymore, I want to go to a different one. Healthy groups and organizations just say, okay, well, you're always welcome if you want to come back, but we understand. That is the right response. It's not bake me cookies if you're sick. It's not keep giving me your money. It's not, no, we're about to bridge this gap. It's, oh, okay, I respect your wishes.
There shouldn't be like a desperation or this throw everything, try everything at you to bring you back. And this is like the same cycle with toxic abusive relationships. They will try anything to keep you in. First going to love bomb you. And if that doesn't work, they're going to say they need you. And if that doesn't work, then they're going to threaten you and like make you feel scared if you don't come back. So it's kind of like those are the stages. So do you want to look up Santeria?
Yeah, we've got it pulled up. Oh, the Sublime song pulled up. I know you were kind of ashamed to share your story because you're like, oh, it's so obvious. I can't believe I fell for that. But again, everyone has fallen for it in some way. Mine was just a girl demanding I bake her cookies. That honestly was a great way to have that lesson. I didn't lose $10,000. Rare. Okay, definitions. There are quite a few. Santeria translates into English as the way of the saints. It is because, oh, it's a religion. It's an Afro-Caribbean religion. Wait, Crystal, are we going to get canceled?
I think we're going to get canceled.
Santeria also holds that a spirit of the dead may attach itself to an individual and thus harm them. Adherents also often believe that humans can harm one another through supernatural means, either involuntarily, by giving them the mal de ojo, evil eye, or deliberately through brujeria, witchcraft. I'm so sorry if I mispronounce those. I'm not a Spanish speaker, despite living in Texas. Actually, this is interesting because at this time, when I was friends with this cookie girl, I'm just going to call her Cookie Girl and the Witch. Oh, it's like a children's book. So I was in a group of friends with this girl, and there were two other girls we were friends with, and they all called themselves the Coven. I was not a part. Crystal just said shut up, her eyes got really, yeah. They never asked me to join, but I wouldn't have said yes if they had, because even though I'm not a spiritual person, I don't think you have to be religious to say, I don't want to mess with witchcraft. Remember when I was a kid, there was this whole thing where it was like, it was just going around my grade school. It's like, turn off the lights and stand in front of your mirror and spin around and say Bloody Mary 5 times and she'll appear. And all of the girls in my class did it and they came to school the next day and they're like, Paige, did you do it? I was like, no, no, I'm not going to do that. Like, why would I do that? Like, I don't think anything's going to happen, but I'm also not going to wait until 2 a.m. and spin around and scream Bloody Mary until she appears. Like, ugh. No, also, I'm just too scared. I don't want to deal with that. But yeah, they had this whole thing where they're like, oh, we're the Coven. And they'd go on these road trips to like New Orleans and they'd have these flower crowns and they would paint like little pictures of witchy things on their arms. And I kind of like, I've always wondered if they cast a spell on me together. I could totally see them doing that. Not that that would have done anything because it's not real, but like, I just feel like that was definitely their vibe.
You're definitely protected.
I don't think I need protection. I mean, I'm just glad this person is out of my life.
Goodness. I mean, the parallels of that, of them calling themselves the Coven. And like, I feel like there's just this whole, in the new age, this glamorization and mainstreamness of witchiness. And I say that with so much empathy and understanding for people who do it, because it's like the glamorized side of that is like, yeah, it's cool to be a witch and like make our own potions and cool spiritual tricks and stuff. But if you actually look at the roots, and you have to always look at the origins and the history and roots of things that you do, because that's where it sources itself from. It's not light fun. It's not just something to play with. Covens and witchcraft and all that, there's actual power and stuff behind it if you give it access. So I just want to make that known, that be careful with the symbols and the representations, archetypes that you use or that you see people using. But yeah, just be careful. A second thing I'll say with anyone saying like, how could you spend $10,000? As a very financial sound person, like my sisters would know, I've grown up so budget savvy. Like, it's crazy for me to even think of spending this much on people, but it's like the investment just gets a little bit more and more time. And so that's something I would watch out for. when you're hooked into something, how the investment to keep going on your journey somehow becomes more and more and more every time, when it shouldn't cost you that much if somebody is actually doing their job, working with you, healing you, helping you through something. Their MO, their mission should be to get you out of their program as soon as possible and not be dependent on them. Any therapist who's a good therapist will know that a job well done is when they can graduate from you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's very interesting. We're talking about the parallels of my experience and your experience. And I didn't think about it like that. It's like, not only can you not leave, not only do they get their claws into you at your literal lowest, like for me physically, Crystal, I could not leave my apartment. Like, I couldn't expose my skin to the sun for more than 20 minutes a day. I was really reliant on her for friendship, to have someone to come and spend time with me so I wouldn't like go bananas. Yeah, actually, it's very interesting. That's what I was dependent on her for. I've actually never thought about it like that. It's not that I didn't have other friends, but no one was willing to come over and help me emotionally in the way that she was. But she really wasn't helping me. She was just coming over and like getting mad at me for not doing things for her. So that's my story. That's my understanding of it. The older I get and the more I encounter these people, the more I just feel like they're all the same. It doesn't matter where they're coming from, what they're doing. Their goal is just suck out all the resources they can from you.
That is a perfect way of saying it. It's almost like once they get their fangs in you and they see that you're the like you are partnered, you are hooked, you are bought into the journey with them, they're like, fangs in, suck it all out as fast as possible because we have you. And that is exactly where this kind of went. And I'm sorry that you had been taken advantage of in that moment, because you were like literally physically, medically vulnerable. And I would say the last bit before I woke up to everything was, she goes, one was, you're going to have to come in and do probably Santeria so we can break off this attached shadowy dark figure that's going to be following you around for the next 5 to 10 years if we don't do it. I'm scared. Of course, I'll do it. And second, it's going to be 12. What? 12 what? 12 days? 12 months? What does that mean? 12. It's going to be 12. What does that mean? It's going to be $12,000 because I'm going to have to really prepare for this one. I'm going to have to prep. I'm going to do so much work and I have to do this right. And I'm putting myself on the line for you if I'm doing this, because when we do this session, this shadowy figure can attach to me and I'm risking myself for this. I will do this for you, but it's going to be that much because this could jeopardize and cost me my own life. Are you ready to be free? Are you ready to get free?
How did you respond?
You're not going to believe this, Paige, but I nod my head and I go, yes, because in my head, I'm like, whatever it takes. Get me free. Get me out of this. Get me on the other side. I'm ready to live my life and I don't want this anymore. Get me out of this. I had a flinch of, this is a lot of money. But the other part of me was like so excited to get free. I just agreed. And she said, okay, great. And I said, when? She said, tomorrow. And we have to do this tomorrow because tomorrow is X date. And that date is when the moon lines up with this. And if we don't do it during the moon, again, another tactic to do this as soon as possible, because what they don't want you to do is to wake up to how insanely exploitative and dangerous and illegal and wrong this is. They just want you in and out as soon as possible to get it all out of you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, she was siphoning resources from you. She was sucking. The way I'm picturing her right now is the same blonde, sunken-eyed, sallow-skinned woman with not quite perfect posture and talents. I'm just picturing her getting thinner and bigger and just engulfing you with her body, just getting her claws deep inside of you. She'd sunk them in really tight. You were willing to give her $12,000.
Yeah.
Did you give her that money?
Oh my gosh. She said, just come tomorrow. And before you come, like, we have to transfer the money. And I'm like, okay. She said, but you have to come tomorrow. And I said, okay, that's the only time we can do it. Okay. Again, it feels very akin and similar to, and if you don't make this investment, and this has happened to me with other coaches before, if you don't make this investment in the next 24 to 40, this is gone. Like, it's very threatening. And if you don't do this right now, this is gone. This will happen to you. You will have this outcome that you don't want. So watch out for that. So anyways, I go home that night and this is what happens. I'm ready for bed and I'm excited because we're doing this thing, this ritual tomorrow. And I get a text from my sister and she sends me a book. It's so random. She doesn't know what's going on. And it's a book about this man that goes to see a shaman because he's sad about his divorce. And I just laugh at it because I think she's indicating something about my ex being sad about this. And then I go to bed that night very happy because tomorrow I'm about to be free and I'm so excited. And this is it. This is the last final thing. I'm not even scared a bit about going into Santeria. Anyways, I go to bed. I have another weird dream that I'm just like, I feel like something is telling me to wake up. Wake up from all this. It's time to wake up. And the next morning I wake up and I'm ready for this day with this psychic, this witch. But then I just remember hearing a very clear voice. And this voice I know is from God. I have a very close communication, prayer life, and relationship with God. It's almost like I heard God say, freedom is free. You're not supposed to be paying for freedom. Freedom is free. Love is free. I remember hearing in the voice, I believe in Jesus Christ, it said, this is why I came to set things free so you don't have to do this. Freedom is free. And that phrase to me has stuck with me for so long because freedom is supposed to be free and love is supposed to be free, right? And I'm about to be paying $12,000 for this. And so many people are out here paying thousands of dollars for what people are promising to them as freedom and peace and love when that is all free, according to God or whatever you want to call it, is supposed to be free, ladies and gentlemen. So after I get that first click, something else tells me to look online onto the Holy Grail. And it just says, this is so funny, it goes, look on Reddit. Which is so, I know that sounds very little and unacademic and professional, but I just started going on Reddit and typing in exactly my situation that I've been in for the past 2 to 3 months. Do you know what I find? I put in all the details of everything I've been going through. I find so many stories and posts on the Reddit thread of so many people going through the same exact thing. I see people who were CEOs, lawyers, doctors, smart people saying like, I don't know what to do. I'm in a couple weeks down. I'm months down and I've been meeting with this person who promised me this thing. They said they were a spiritual advisor. And now someone spent $50,000 on this coach, the spiritual advisor, this whatever that they had. A very smart person. And all these threads were saying the exact same factors that I just went through. And immediately everything became clear for me that this was not only a scam, that this was something that other people are going through because of the same tactics of preying on emotionally vulnerable, weak, needy people. And all these comments were saying, get out, brother. I'm sorry. I'm telling you, like, people were going through things like a divorce. Or someone saying like, I'm a doctor, my wife just left me, I bought into this 3 month thing with this person that is promising me X, Y, and Z, and now we're doing scary things and they're making me bring things to their session for whatever. It was all the same thing. It was honestly like my eyes were open, the scales were off, the veil was torn. I'm like, oh my gosh, I was scrolling through this thing forever. And then I just text my sister and I'm like, you'll never believe what I've been doing for the past 3 months. And I'm bringing it out into the open. And I just explained to her everything in this laughing emoji way. And she calls me immediately and she's like, oh my goodness, what are you doing? Get out of there right now. You'll never believe, her husband, Richie, she said, yesterday, Richie told me, I think we needed to reach out to Crystal. I have a feeling she's doing something isolated, and I think we need to get her out. Someone needs to reach out to her. And I explained to her and her husband everything on the phone because I'm laughing at this point because everything's a joke revealed to me. And Richie says something to me that I will hold fast in heart and give to anybody. Richie, he has a lot of tough love, and he's like, Crystal, why are you being so stupid? You have family and friends. You have people who know you. Why are you going to these spiritual people and these circles and these things? Go to people who know you. Go to people who love you. Don't spend your money on them. You have people who have your best interests in mind. Go to them first. You don't have to go to these people who don't know anything about you and are cashing you out because you're weak and you're vulnerable and you're scared. What are you doing? And that says everything to me because the first thing that we should be doing in moments like these, no matter what you're going through, is go to people who actually truly love you, know you, have a relationship with you, and don't go to these people, these circles, these programs, these cults, whatever, these coaches that are promising you that they know you, that they love you, that they have the best interest in mind as long as you put money down on this thing. No. Why are we doing these things?
How did she respond when you told her no?
My sister told me, don't even give her a time of day. Don't go to the thing. I just woke up from it. Glad I was woken up. I wasn't going to her anymore. And I said, hi, thank you for your time. This is what my sister told me because she's a lawyer. She said, tell her this. Thank you for your time. I won't be needing your services anymore. And this is us after building such a relationship. And this woman blew up my phone. She was like, what are you talking about? Like, don't listen to them. They don't get what you're going through. We have to do this. We're going to get you out of this. Remember, like, X, Y, and Z, all these things. And my sister was like, don't listen to her. Don't even read this. So I stopped reading my phone because she was blowing up. And then she started getting really threatening, like, no, the moon was tonight. Like, you're supposed to be doing these things. And when I went answering her, she was getting very, using the fear tactic, like, if you don't do this right now, this is going to follow you for the next few things. Do you want this? You're so close. You're so close to freedom. And if you don't, then these other scary things will happen. She was really pulling every stop on me possible using the fear tactic. And at this point, I had blocked my phone. And it's so interesting because even though I blocked her from my phone, she still found a way to text me and message me. And at this point, I just stopped looking because I knew it would probably scare me if I looked at it. The next few days, I was really scared of leaving my house, looking around the corner, just scared that she was going to come in out of nowhere. And she was threatening me in different ways, like, you owe me this money, you said you would do this, all this, anything that she could throw at the wall, anything that would stick to get me back in. Luckily, I was already woken up. By the grace of God, I was just woken up to everything. She no longer had a hold on me, but I can see so clearly now that it was so close. She almost had me. Luckily, I had people who loved me and things to wake me up from that. And I never went back to it. I just broke free from all that. I feel so much for anybody going through any of this and having actually lost so much and like put so much at stake at this, because it really is such a journey. And it made me really sad to see how sad and broken and weak I was that I had gone that far with her and luckily woke up just in time before the biggest investment of my life.
So she was very aggressive about trying to keep you in. She's calling on your fears, right? She's preying on you. Did she leave you alone after this initial upset of emotion? Did you block her? Tell me, how did you get her out of your life?
Yeah, I think for the next few days, she was trying to throw everything at the wall because she was possibly building on the momentum, possibly building on our friendship. And this is what we shared together. Remember this. This is what you wanted. This is what you wanted and what you said you wanted. And why are you backing out now when you're so close to the end? And I just blocked her. Honestly, I just blocked her. Like, you just have to block them out and not give anyone any more energy. Don't feed the beast. Don't feed the beast and move on. In a way, it was very similar to that relationship, which was abusive. You just have to cut it all off. Don't feed the beast and look the other way and never look back.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because that was something I was thinking earlier. You essentially hopped from an abusive relationship to another abusive relationship. Crystal, tell me about that.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up because we might only see abusive relationships as one-to-one partnership, but it could also look like an abusive relationship with a friend, with someone you trust, a mentor, a coach, as someone that has some kind of power over you and a title over you, or a program, a group, a community, a church, a pastor, a leader. Those are all that. And I think like from one abusive relationship to another, if you don't do enough healing and doing the work out of it, you tend to latch onto something else because it's what you're used to. And this isn't for everybody, but after that, I made it my whole goal to not latch onto anything anymore and to really walk through in the responsible human way of just healing and not distracting myself with a new program or life or a person who is going to get me out. You just have to go through the time. The only way out is through. You can't buy a ticket. You can't buy a pill. You can't buy a person. You can't buy a coaching program. They will not get you out. They will not set you free. It is time. It's through God. It's through the best means ever, which is people who love you. Love is free and freedom is free. That's all I got to say.
That's a nice story. That's a nice story because you had a happy ending. You got out. I have to ask, what do you think about this woman? We've touched on your spirituality. Do you think she was an agent of darkness?
That's a good question. I'm going to say yes, because I think when people are actually using tactics that are not in your best interest and are taking advantage of people in the spiritual way and actually like exploiting you based off of your fears, then yeah, that is literally what the dark side is about. I mean, you can even say like, well, salespeople and network marketing and weird, slimy, cringy programs, they do that too. But I think when it comes to dark tactics around fear and threatening you and making you feel really scared and dependent on them, then yes.
Do you think she was aware that she was taking advantage of you and exploiting you? Or did she believe that she was truly helping you?
So interesting. Can I reference the girl that you brought up earlier?
The Cookie Monster? Oh, the girl from the cult. Yeah, go ahead.
The question, do they know they're exploiting or taking advantage of you? I'm going to say this. I think people like this, they intrinsically believe that they are helping other people, but they're almost like a savior. If they're playing on that savior complex and the God complex, and that you are beyond your mind if you aren't doing this and I'm going to get you through. That's one thing. Second, do they know that they're taking advantage and exploiting you? I feel like at this point, if you have a God complex, if you have some kind of spiritual savior complex, you have delusioned, convinced yourself that you're not doing anything wrong. I mean, you can see this with anybody up there in the higher field who are doing shady practices, and even like pastors and people who are truly helping so many people. But at that point, like this girl who left the message and my witch, they have no inhibitions to the wrong practice that they're doing, because I mean, it's like their eyes, it's gone, like that emptiness. It also means it's void of, I'm going to cause this person harm. It's void of that. They just want to see their gain. They are intent on the gain that they get from you through you. They're still helping you, but they're dead set on the gain that they get through the recruitment of you.
Yeah. And again, if you're listening to this and you're wondering if whatever group you're in is like this, literally just leave. Like, you can always go back to it. But if you tell someone, a group, an entity, hey, I'm super busy right now, I just don't have the finances for this, and I don't want to take up any of your time, I just need to take a break. Watch what they do. Do they let you go, or do they try to find ways to get you to stay? I grew up in Dallas. I definitely have been in attendance of Young Life groups. And when I wanted to stop going, no one was at my door at the middle of the night trying to get me back in. No one was sending me harassing text messages. For the most part, groups that are healthy, when you want to go, they just let you go. It's not a big deal.
Let me just say this. We are constantly opening ourselves up to different things, to influences by people. To like, when you make friends with a friend group, you're opening up to an influence around them, right? You can call that a portal. Like, you are opening up a portal to your inside, to your soul, your spirit, your mind, your decision-making by being around something that will have influence on you. So it's pretty straightforward like that. It doesn't have to get too woo-woo. And I would say on the spiritual realm, that is the pathway into your mind having influence around you and how you perceive life, right? Think about any friend, any group, any highly influential program that you've gotten into. As humans, we are just sponges to that, right? We do have a lot of openness to things like the content you're consuming, the people that you're around. That's what I mean by portal having an insider into you. So you have to be careful with what has access to your mind, your body, your soul. The dark, shadowy realms, I'm never saying that like I was like seeing demons and being in an exorcism and like going into these places and worlds and realms. I have never been in that. But I can say for a fact that the minute I started doing these rituals, the minute I started doing the readings and opening myself up to her, and like she had influence on me, and it got weird. Things started getting weird. I started having weird dreams. I started just feeling very under some influence. Quite frankly, I was not in the driver's seat most of the time after that. And I was buying into things. Like, you just get into this hypnotized, cloudy state. There's a spectrum of that. But I would say that is what the portal is, opening up to that. And then all of a sudden, you're not in the driver's seat at these decision-making times.
Did any of these shadowy figures ever speak to you? And if so, what did they say? Just really trying to drum up the spiritual horror here.
I think it wasn't ever like in a scary voice. First of all, the dreams were scary, like the shadowy things jumping on the table were scary. It was more of like, you need this, go to the next thing. Don't you want to be free? Don't you want to get out? Those were the voices that I heard.
You know, that cult girl sent me a message. She sent me a lot of messages. How can I support you with your decision? I have $500 for you. What's possible when you choose to put yourself first to empower how you can support others in your life? I know you are. And you get to do so, but not at the cost of your own elevation. We end the patterns that are not working today because you take a stand for yourself. Heart emoji. I'm speaking directly to you because you get to have people in your life who are real and honest with the badass you are and don't let you settle for good enough in your life. And these are the types of relationships you get to create in your life. Let me know how I can support you, sweet friend. I love you. Anyway, then it just goes on for like 10 pages because I keep telling her no, 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 no. No, I don't want to be in your group. That's the thing. If you have a friend who wants you to join something, look, I give people the benefit of the doubt. I would say 2 or 3 times. And then past that, like if they keep asking you, you just need to cut them off. I say this because maybe I've tried to get some of my friends to go play tennis with me and they won't. I've asked them multiple times. I'm not trying to get them to like, you know, join a tennis cult. Just want them to exercise with me. But like, that's different. Like, I'm not trying to get money from them, right? Like, I would say if you have any relationship where someone keeps trying to get money from you or cookies and they won't take no for an answer, you gotta run away. So, Crystal, these demons, these spirits around you, do you feel like this woman you were talking to, this witch, do you think she was a real person or do you believe she was a demon?
Oh, that's a good question. I think she was a real person. There is definitely demonic stuff going on. And everyone can like argue like, no, she was just being like weird and tactical. But I was like in a precarious, dystopic situation there.
The way I think about it is like this. Sometimes when, you know, we all get emotional from time to time. Maybe you get really angry or happy or you're sad. And that emotion can course through your whole body. Let's say you've lost someone in your family and you're experiencing grief and you're crying all the time. When I look at these people, I just feel like the emotion that's coursing through their body is greed and just taken over their body in a way I cannot explain. Again, not super religious. I don't believe in demonic possession, but it's like the spirit of greed is in them and they are just trying to get out as much from you as they can. And when you say no, it's like offending their sense of greed. So that's how I feel about it.
Beautifully put. I agree with that. There is definitely a spirit of greed that is charging a lot of these other people you see in the industry of like personal growth, development, wellness, manifestation, and abundance. And all, it's like there is also the energetics of milking this out and exploiting the needy, the weak, and greed plays into it because anyone who gets high enough in it is like making a lot of money. Oh, they get bought into that greed. And this is like with a message that you just wrote. That's why she's not reading the room and listening to your nose, because I need what I can get from you. Like my agenda is to profit here off of what I can get and to tell you, don't you want this? The cost of this is your next best life. Someone who really cared about you would never say that to you. They would never make you feel like you're sacrificing and costing your best life if you don't go by what you're saying. That is extremely exploitative and threatening. That's not somebody who truly wants to help and has your best interest in mind.
Yeah, it's like they're not just trying to profit from your bank account. They're also trying to profit from your soul. It's so weird. The way I've just started to think about this world, it's like, imagine you're like a little hermit crab and you've got a really, really beautiful shell. It's such a nice shell. You know, it's very pretty. You're a nice little hermit crab. You're minding your own business, walking around the ocean. You have to really learn how to protect your shell, because even if you're not actively seeking out relationships with other people, there are going to be people who will dive in and try to take your shell. There are going to be bigger sea animals that come in and try to take your shell or eat you. And if you haven't learned how to protect yourself in your shell, well, you can just kiss it goodbye. Like, I don't know if that sounds weird, but it's like, it's not enough anymore just to cultivate good relationships. I feel like now you have to actively work against bad ones in a way that I have not experienced before. I don't know if it's because we're in Austin and the wellness community has taken hold here. Tell me your thoughts on this.
There's a whole new industry now that exploits on people's feelings of not being enough. You can say that, oh, that's the beauty industry forever. But like, no, I'm talking about a whole new industry of teachers and gurus and coaches and the people who will promise you that their thing is going to give you your next level up and freedom and life and abundance and prosperity and growth. The personal growth and development space is so saturated, and it makes you, it twists a tourniquet knife on your pain points and your lack.
there's a time and place to show people like, hey, awareness on where you might be hurting and needing help on, that's fine. But when it's like how it is now is that there's such a saturation and overwhelming noise on people saying like, you need me, you're dealing with this, aren't you? And you're weak, you're not good enough. You need to work with my course and my program and ARC people to do that. And so I feel like that is why we do have to be really protective about ourselves and people convincing us of our need for them, because it's just an oversaturated market now in this day and age. It's 2024. I can guarantee you everybody and their mothers has found a way to leave their jobs that they hate to help other people by being coaches and teachers and wellness and like everything, which is fine. But there's so much of that now, and the way that people are being taught and to acquire new clients and customers and business and audiences is by exploiting you on your need of them. Just be protective around who's speaking into your life, what you're consuming, what you're being convinced of. Be protective of your hermit shell, because more likely than not, you don't really need somebody who doesn't know you. You don't need somebody that just shows a few really cool videos and has a really cool website. You don't really need somebody that is so outside of your current circle and community of people who really know you, care about you, and love you.
That's right. Protect your shell, everybody. Thank you so much for coming on my show, Crystal. I'm happy you made it out alive.
I'm happy I made it out of the witch's hold too, and her talon. Here we are. Thank you, Paige.
Okay, you're rolling?
Yeah.
What's the best color to start on?
Whenever you feel like it's time.
Caution. Something I never had too often, though lately I catch myself awaiting, making reasons to stay inside and watch the world just pass me by. I wonder why I tend to avoid motion. I rarely make time to see the ocean. Those Carolina pines were awfully pretty. Should make time before our days will feel so numbered that the memories start to fade. And I don't mean to sound so pessimistic in case you missed it. Optimism makes me wish it takes me all a mystical experience. It's a it's a mystical experience. It's a to wrestle with existence. I'm just in it for the mystical.